Lieutenant Michael Lynch thinks to himself as he reaches into his side pocket. I've got to help G.I. Max win. If Captain America beats him, Project Argument is going to lose a lot of credibility, and my career will be completely shot. Lieutenant Michael Lynch pulls a gun out of his side pocket. Hold him still there for a moment, G.I. Max. I'll equalize the odds for you. Lieutenant Michael Lynch takes his shot. But Captain America gets his shield up in time and blocks one of the shots. One shot goes off in a way, but the other shot ricochets and hits G.I. Max square in the neck. Gunshots! I hear gunshots! G.I. Max has been hit! Lynch! Lieutenant Lynch, you fool! Look what you've done! Oh, Christ! I can't believe it! That does it now! I've got to kill Captain America and hope none of these soldiers contradict my version of what exactly happened! But as Lieutenant Michael Lynch raises his gun to take a shot, Captain America throws his shield and knocks the gun and out of Michael Lynch's hands, as well as knocking out Michael Lynch. Captain America crouches down to check over G.I. Max. He is bleeding profusely. Lord, it looks really bad. Tore right through the jugular. Got to stop the bleeding. And pray he holds on till the ambulance we called before gets here. But... No good! G.I. Max has died! Rest in peace, soldier! Lynch! Get your tail over here now! Now! Epilogue. G.I. Max, pronounced dead on arrival at Los Angeles County Trauma Center 2 hours later. The U.S. Army disavowed any knowledge of his actions or even his existence. Lieutenant Michael Lynch, reprimanded by his commanding officer for bungling a covert operation, and has been reassigned to administrative duty. Curtis Jackson, the power broker, taken into custody by the Los Angeles Police Department and has been released on $1 million bail. Pending trial, he remains in the argumentation business. Dennis Dumfrey, Demolition Man, admitted to Los Angeles County Trauma Center and is listed in stable condition. He is contemplating whether to resume his pro wrestling career or not. The soldiers of Task Force 17, all volunteers for Project Argument, have been notified that the project has been put on indefinite hold. Miss Marvel resisted capture by the army and held Demolition Man and the Power Broker until the paramedics and the police arrived. She is currently traveling eastward with Captain America. The Shroud brought the failed arguments to the Power Broker's mansion for treatment, as he vowed the arguments have caused $10 million in property damage so far. The Shroud remains at large. Steve Rogers, Captain America, delivered the Power Broker to the authorities and pressed charges against him. He is currently in transit to Washington, D.C. to take the matter of the Army's involvement with a known criminal to the Pentagon. He is unaware that the men in Washington have been trying to contact him the past week. But that will change very, very soon. Next issue, the end of Captain America as we know him.
End. All right, people, I made it, and hopefully you made it too. You have just listened to a reading of Captain America number 331, July, the year 1987.
We got together, we be causing a commotion. is Ella.
This is Kaya.
And this is Meg, and we're Plum Vision.
And you're listening to CKUW 95.9 FM Winnipeg.
His face in the sand, not the last mafioso, I'm a MC cop, make it say go LL and do the what. If you think you cannot ride me, yeah boy I bet, cause I ain't met a motherfucker who could do that yet. Trendsetter, I'm better, my rhymes are good, I got a gold nameplate that says I wish you would. And when battle begin then, I gotta join in, and before my rhyme is over, you know I'ma win. Cool J has arrived, so you better make way. Ask anybody in the crowd, they say the kid don't play. Job. I don't wear disguise because I don't hold the mic. Got a pinpoint rap that makes you feel trapped. So many girls on my jack. I'm making sure you don't try to battle me no more. Got concrete rhymes, been rapping for 10 years. And even when I'm bragging, I'm being sincere. MC can't win, I make them rust like tin. They call me Jaws, my hat is like a shark's fin. Because I'm bad as can be, got my voice on wax. Some brothers think he's making records, now he must have relaxed. I couldn't, shouldn't, and it'll stay that way. The best rapper you've heard is LL Cool J. Kamikaze, take a look at what I've done. Used to rock in my bass. Supreme, and I'm notorious. I'll crush you like a jelly bean. I'm bad.
Suspect was last spotted with three other members of his group, a bobcat, a eland, and a country lizard. They are extremely fast, so keep your eyes open. Use extreme caution.
I eliminate punks, cut them up in chunks. You a soup to hurt me. Drunk. I'm devastating, I'm so good it's a shame, cause I eat rappers like a cannibal, they call me insane. I'm as strong as a bull, of course you know I am poor. I enjoy what I'm doing, plus I'm paid in full. Not fucking Rubin type, but bust it out as I say the kind of rhymes that make MCs wish that I die. Never retire or put my mic on the shelf, the baddest rapper in the history of rap itself. Not bitter or mad, just proving I'm bad. You want a hit, give me an hour plus a pen and a bag. MCs retreat, cause they know I can beat them and eat them in a battle, and the ref won't cheat them. I'm the baddest, taking out all rookies. Don't forget Oreos, eat Cool J cookies. I'm bad.
Worship like a whole battleship. LL, I'm bad. Other rappers know when I enter the center, they say, yo, yo, there he go. My paycheck's large. Mr. Bogart in charge. Not a punter or a hunter from a raccoon lot. The original tar, teaching how to be hard. Take the skin off a snake and split a pea from a pie. You're a novice, I'm noble, and I just step on my tongue. Not a tiller, the hunt, gun or Abdullah's son. My voice is exact, like rack and pinion in a jag. You try to brag, you get your rhymes from a grab bag. No good scavenger, catfish, vulture. My tongue's a chisel and this composition's sculpture. I'm bad.
Think I'm gonna need backup. I think I'm gonna need backup.
He's bad and you're good.
because you're listening to CKUW 95.9. That's what makes it good. That's what, when I think about you, when I think about how intelligent you are and how good your morals are, it's because you're a CKUW listener. That's all it took. That's all it took for me to judge you right. So, feel safe about how I feel, okay? Feel safe in knowing this. There's a change up. I'm going to read you something else, okay? I'm going to read you some Batman. Some Batman. Any Batman fans out there? We're going to take a trip to Gotham City. Here we go. I am going to read to you on Comic Book Radio Theater. I'm going to read to you Batman number 435, printed July of 1989. And if I remember right, this comic book would have been out around when the Batman movie, the one that has Michael Keaton, Jack Nicholson, Kim Basinger, that movie was out at the theaters, and so many people were seeing it. It was like totally, you know, blockbuster number one movie and all that. But the movie was super hot at the time when this comic book was out, summer of 1989. And I guess one of the big impacts, other than I thought the acting was very good in that film and the story and whatever, it's like presentation of it. It had to have been about maybe like 5 or 6 years since there was any superhero kind of film. There was a big period where there wasn't any Superman films and stuff like that, and not like today where there's tons of superhero films and they're trying anything. They're trying anything and everything to see what clicks and what doesn't click. So we have Batman. We had Batman the movie. We all have Batman the comic book read to you. I will read to you Batman number 435 from July of 1989. And when I take my first vocal break, here's the music that we're going to have. Brand new back then in July of 1989. We'll listen to Faith No More. They had a breakout song. Just a breakout song called Epic. We'll also hear from Nirvana. They are playing live in concert from Portland, Oregon. We'll hear from them a little bit before the fame for Nirvana. And also Fergazi. I don't know the song, but I've heard it a bunch of times. I've worked in a lot of like punk rock, heavy metal nightclubs. There was like a good 7 year period where I did that constantly. I've heard the song from Fergazi like a number of times, just working in these nightclubs and everything like that. So, music that you will get brand new back in July of 1989 was Faith No More, Nirvana, and Fergazi. And brand new at the comic book shop was Batman number 435. It came out July 1989. All right. What do I need to set up on my keyboard? Yeah, there's that. Ooh, forgot about that. All right. I'm just going to find a song, set up my keyboard, and soon I will do Comic Book Radio Theater for you. We do this CKUW 95.9 FM. Hopefully you are having an awesome evening out there. See you in a bit. We do this from the University of Winnipeg.
Hi, I'm Nyla. You're listening to CKUW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg.
Denny O'Neill presents The Batman. In the many depths of The Batman. Chapter 3, The Last Death of The Batman. Mary McGinnis was out very late last night. She found a friend with a big bag of money and a generous hand. He had some funny ideas, but Mary, she didn't mind. She saw herself set for a few days off. A few evenings alone in her small apartment room, peaceful and quiet. She did not see the kind of eternal peace the evening would end up to be. Did not foresee choking out her very last breaths of her short, sad life. As the first rays of a distant dawn peeked around the edges of her windowsill, there is a dead woman lying on an apartment floor. There are police and paramedics surrounding her.
So, what's the scoop? How long has she been dead?
Paramedics say 6, maybe 7 hours. It's lucky that it's the end of the month. Could have been days before anybody found her. Not if the landlady came by pounding on the door looking for a rent.
Jeez.
She's just a baby. She's like my daughter's age.
Inspector? What do you make of this underneath the bed?
What you got there, kid?
I'm not too sure. Something scratched into the carpet under this dead woman's hand.
Alright, you two. Get this bed all the way, now.
Yes, sir, Inspector. Holy!
Well, I'll be.
You see that the woman has scratched a pattern in the carpet, similar to the bat signal.
Meanwhile, a few miles beyond Gotham City limits stands the somber edifice known as Wayne Manor. These sandstone walls have been privy to much in the long years that it has stood on this hill, looking across the growing metropolis to its west. Yet, of all the things the mansion might have known, There has never been such a secret so great as the one embodied by the lonely figure Bruce Wayne, who stands now staring in mute frustration at the distant skyline.
Alfred, the butler, is bringing a plate of food, a tray of food, to Bruce Wayne.
I thought you might care for a spot of lunch, Master Bruce.
Thank you, Alfred. I'm afraid I'm not very hungry just right now. Are the police still downstairs?
Yes, sir. The main hall looks rather like a policeman's convention of some sort. There must be a dozen of them down there, all lounging about.
This is madness! 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 Madness!
At that very moment, at this very moment, this insane killer may be plotting his next move. Hell, even making his next move. And there's nothing I can do about it as long as Gotham's finest police officers are all intent on protecting me.
Do I understand? You mean you think you know who this killer might be, Master Wayne?
Not who, Alfred. I'll need more data before I can make a guess at who. But I know why. Why? I'm almost certain I know why. And knowing why is half the battle.
I must confess. I am myself completely baffled by this case, Master Bruce. 7 men of various ages and backgrounds, all murdered within the past 3 days. All of them wearing imitation Batman costumes.
And the latest attempt on me, with a Batman costume treated with powerful acids and rigged to activate when the fake utility belt was fastened on. You really can't put it all together, Alfred?
No, sir. If the attack has been against you alone, I would have suspected someone has uncovered your secret identity. But all these other gentlemen? Surely this mad killer could not believe you are all the Batman.
Not the Batman, Alfred, not exactly, but pieces of him, pieces of his past. You know me probably better than anyone else on Earth, but you know I'm never one to sing my own praises. But I'll say right now that keeping a calm, straight face as Commissioner Gordon read off the names of the murdered men has been one of my greatest acting jobs of all time. You see, I knew them, all of them, Alfred, each and every one of them. Without them, there might never have been a Batman. Meanwhile, in the offices of Gotham City Police Commissioner Jim Gordon.
Commissioner Gordon, do you have a moment? Do you have a moment? Do you have a moment? Do you have a moment?
I seem to have nothing but moments these days, Dr. Jane. Frustrating, inconclusive moments, that is. That will not fit themselves into a decent chain of logic. Whoever is our mystery killer, whoever he is or she is, seems quite determined not to leave us the slightest clue to its identity.
There's nothing, nothing at all, nothing at all, nothing at all.
Nothing! Nothing! Look at this, Doctor. 7 murders, 1 attempt, and yet I might as well be chasing a ghost. Whoever is doing this leaves no clues, none whatsoever.
Well, I don't know if what I have to say will help them or just make matters worse.
Matters worse.
Spare me the ominous pronouncements, Dr. Jane. What have you got?
Well, it's the second killing, the second Batman killing. Mr. Stone, the demolitions expert, who was blowing up on his hotel balcony. I just got a detailed report on what was left of the body. And there's just a hint of evidence that he might have already been dead when he was exploded.
Already dead?
Already dead?
Already dead?
Already dead?
Yes. Yes, it's odd, too. I mean, we didn't have very much to go on, but, well, in the case of all the others, the case of the death was just what appeared to be. Mr. LaSalle was beaten and crucified. Mr. Jenner was drowned. If the attempt on Bruce Wayne had been successful. But Mr. Stone's body, pieces of it that we found, had already been dead for several days when it was exploded.
Already dead. Already dead, really? What does that mean? What could it all mean? Is it possible? Someone is playing a game of Leaf in the Forest with us?
Leaf in the what?
Leaf in the Forest. It's an old concept. Hide a leaf. To hide a leaf, you put it in a forest. Hide a playing card, you put it in a playing deck. Hide a book, you put it in a library.
Oh, I see.
What we may have here is one specific victim whose death is being hidden in the midst of all the others. While we waste our time searching for a connection between the murdered man and the real motive, and if you will, the real murderer slips past us. Past us.
But the Batman costumes?
It's window dressing. Window dressing. A nice, bizarre touch to take us even further off the proper trail. After all, when the first dead Batman was discovered, our whole city went into mourning. Those who weren't celebrating. Either way, it drew us all off course. And while we were running around following all these false leads, Jean, who's in charge of the Mr. Stone part of the Batman killing investigation? Tell him to put an all stops on this one. Find out everything about Mr. Stone. Who's his friends? Who's his enemies? All of the movements and theirs. We may have found our path to our killer. Meanwhile, in the quiet residential neighborhood of Park Ridge, just a few short miles from Gotham City limits, at the front door of one particular house, a lovely woman is knocking on a door.
Jerry, are you home?
A woman finds the door unlocked,
So she enters in.
Jerry? It's me, Sally. Now where could he be? He promised he would be able to come and to help me pick out the China pattern today.
The young woman finds a door in the house a little bit open. She opens it up and she goes down a set of stairs. She goes down into a basement.
Jerry.
Sally!
What are you doing, darling? Messing with all those smelly old chemicals of yours again? You are going to be able to give that up after we're married, like you promised, right?
Of course! There's no reason for me to come back to this after we're married. Just like I promised you. Just like I planned. As the loving couple caress each other and walk away from the basement, you can see that there's a box on a work table. Inside that box looks like parts of a Batman costume.
Meanwhile, back at Wayne Manor. This has gone on long enough. I've got to get down to the library to access the Batcave. We're going to have to find something to distract all those policemen downstairs.
But what, sir?
What, sir?
What, sir?
The Commissioner Gordon ordered them to protect you and made it quite clear to anyone who was the slightest bit derelict in their duty would find themselves working as a meter maid.
Nonetheless! I have to get past those policemen. I have to get to the Batcave. There are lives at risk. Lives! People who need my protection. Not even my secret identity is sufficiently valuable that I could risk more death just to preserve it. If it comes down to it, I'm going to walk right past those policemen, and they can follow me into the Batcave if they have to.
Oh, I'm sure that won't be necessary, sir. I believe there is something I could do. Just give me 15 minutes, please.
All right, Alfred, but not one second more. There's too much at stake!
Oh dear. It's been a long time since I've seen Master Bruce. It's such a bad spot. Such a state.
The butler, Alfred, is taking something out of the refrigerator. It looks like a roast.
I only hope this works. I was planning to serve this roast for Sunday dinner. I haven't used this microwave oven more than 3 times in the 12 years that we've had the wretched thing. Certainly never expected using it to destroy such a splendid cut of lamb.
And 11 minutes later, where all the police officers are gathered, guarding Bruce Wayne.
Oh man, what is that smell? My mouth is watering enough to drown me in it.
Good afternoon, officers. I was wondering if I could offer you a spot of lunch.
Hey, you don't have to ask twice, man!
What you cooking there, pal? Smells delicious.
Hey!
Hold it, guys! Are you crazy? Are you crazy?
Commissioner Gordon! We'll have us roasted if we leave!
I'm not suggesting you leave, officers. Merely transferring your guard post to the kitchen.
Yeah, come on, Morris. Come on, Morris. It's not like we're running off to McDonald's or something. Oh, no. Yeah, come on, Morris. Come on.
Come on.
Okay.
May I remind you of your compatriots outside? I doubt anyone will be able to reach the house with them patrolling the grounds.
Bruce Wayne is looking from up above. He thinks to himself,
Brilliant.
Brilliant, my old friend Albert. You're brilliant.
Brilliant. 2 minutes later, far below Wayne Manor in the Batcave.
Bruce Wayne, in his Batman costume, is standing in front of his supercomputer, thinking to himself,
none of the murder victims were Gotham natives. Whatever it is that's killing them must have also been bringing them into town. Whoever it is that's killing them must have also been bringing them into town. Luring them in somehow. With my computer links to all the major systems in Gotham City, I can easily tap into the various train, bus, and airline schedules, as well as passenger lists. Hundreds of thousands of people come into Gotham every day. Finding a needle in a haystack would be child's play compared to this. If I didn't have the distinct advantage of knowing exactly which names I'm looking for. Batman is swinging on in on a bat line to the side of a hotel, the Sandberg Hotel. He has landed on a ledge, and he is now He is now opening up a window. This is box room. Doesn't look like he's here. If I'm too late.
All right, a little bit of a rough go of it. But anyhow, we will return to Batman number 435 after these messages. This is Comic Book Radio Theater on CKUW 95.9 FM, Winnipeg. All right, our ads. What do we got here? All right, we got this one. Let me give you a clue. It's a video game, and it's about being in a helicopter. What am I talking about?
Airwolf for the Nintendo Entertainment System. Deep within enemy territory, your fellow countrymen are imprisoned. Only one man could dare attempt to save them. You! Commander of Airwolf, the Mach 1 jetcopter. Your heat-seeking missiles and super-powered machine guns are fired up, but can you evade the enemy? Headquarters knows you have the firepower and the skill You say you've got the guts? Now prove it! Errol for the Nintendo Entertainment System by acclaimed masters of the game!
I forgot to mention, read the top part.
It takes more than guts to command Airwolf.
Okay, all right. If you know what, I just want to say this as something that relates to it. If somebody said to me, how about a helicopter ride, I would take it. I would take it. All right, this is also has to do with video games, but it's something you could eat.
What?
What on earth am I talking about? What on earth? Okay, we will find out in just 1 second.
Introducing a winning combination for breakfast. The Nintendo Cereal System, Super Mario Brothers, and Zelda.
This tastes super.
We rescued breakfast.
Introducing Nintendo Cereal System. Nintendo is for breakfast now. Nintendo is two cereals in one.
Wow! Wow!
Super Mario Brother and Zelda 2. Mix them and match them. Crunch them. You just can't lose. Fruit-flavored Marios, mushrooms, and Goombas. Fruit-flavored Links, hearts, and shields. Nintendo is breakfast news. Nintendo Cereal System. If you can't beat them, eat them!
Eat them!
Okay. And do we have any more ads this time around? Just looking. Nope, we have one more. Okay. All right. This is another video game, but it has to do with a time period a long, long, long time ago. Let's see. What am I talking about?
Get all fired up for the adventure of a lifetime. Role-playing, action-adventure, password feature, two-speed levels. Hydolid. Is that how you say it? Hydolid. For play on the Nintendo Entertainment System by FCI.
Yeah, looks like a video game with you're a knight, you're fighting dragons, stuff like that. Okay, all right.
Okay, we now return to Batman number 435. This is Comic Book Radio Theater on CKUW 95.9 FM, the University of Winnipeg. Batman is swinging in on a bat line. He is landing on a hotel, the Sandberg Hotel. He lands on the window ledge. He's opening up a window to one of the hotel rooms. He thinks to himself, "This is box room. Doesn't look like he's here. I'm too late. Too late."
Batman looks around the room and thinks to himself,
"Everything looks in order. Odd to think that Aurelius Bock is here in Gotham. He hated travel so much. What could have lured him here? Would have had to be something very important to him. I know he's not set foot outside of Austria in 6 years since his wife, Mina, passed away. Wait, what's this?"
Batman looks into Eliash Bosch's box luggage. He sees an envelope
looks like there's a letter inside of it. Batman reads the letter.
Of utmost importance to the welfare of your granddaughter, please come to Gotham immediately. Tickets enclosed. And it's signed Smith. Smith, the name Eliosh Bosch knows me by. Another false lead to Bruce Wayne. Whoever it is that's behind this seems to have correctly deducted that Bruce Wayne is somehow a pivotal part of Batman's life.
Batman looks over to a photograph that's set up on a nightstand.
That picture.
Batman picks up the photograph.
An odd coincidence that it should be this particular photograph. I remember so clearly when I snapped it.
All right. Smile. Say cheese. Say cheese. Say cheese.
Mina and Eliot Bosch were a wonderful couple. Kind, gentle. They reminded me of how I thought my parents might have been like at a similar age. It pained me to have to deceive them, even in a small way.
There, you see, Herr Smith? It does not hurt to relax a little sometimes.
I know that, Mina, but still I have to.
So much to learn. I know. I will teach you. It's been nearly 8 years since we last heard from our son Gaston. The falling between us was very, very bad, very bad. I had very much hoped he would follow my footsteps, but now I can see that cannot be so. Thus, I am happy to hand off to you all the knowledge I have collected over the years of my association with Interpol. I only hope you can put it to good use.
Oh, I will, Bosch, I will, and I promise I will. He taught me everything I knew about the fine art of toxicology, how to recognize the most insidious poisons from the tiniest whiff, the merest trace.
Behind Batman, someone is opening up the hotel door.
It's this room, officers.
Batman! Aren't just another Joker dressed up as him? No, I really am the Batman, officers. It's Mr. Bosch, Mr. Bosch is an acquaintance of mine. I was hoping to meet him here. Why are you here?
Well, as an officer, I hope he wasn't too good of a bunny of yours, Batman. The only place you'll be meeting Mr. Bosch now is at the city morgue. He was killed yesterday. It took us till now to track down where he was staying.
This is Comic Book Radio Theater on CKUW 95.9 FM. You have been listening to a reading of Batman number 435, July, the year 1989.